Good morning, everyone. Continue looking at the book of Psalms, looking at various Psalms. And Psalms is a worship book. It's a book of emotions. It's a book that is written for all people in all days. And it's written for us today also. The Psalms express so many different situations and circumstances that ancient Israelites found themselves in, and so many of them are the exact same as we find ourselves in today. And so we sing the Psalms, we memorize the Psalms, we worship through the Psalms. We are encouraged and strengthened through the Psalms. And I pray that this morning, God's word in Psalm 103 will speak really powerfully to us and shape us and mold us more into the image of His Son, Jesus. Let us pray before we read Psalm 103. Oh, Father God, we thank You that You are our Heavenly Father, that You are a good, good Father. A Father to all. Thank You that You love us. We know that You love us, Lord, for You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross on our behalf, dying in our place, dying our death. We thank You, Lord, that death could not hold Him. And that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen from the dead. We thank You, Father, that You call us Your children. And that You promise to never leave us and never forsake us. That You are with us always. I pray this morning, Lord, as we study Your word, that You would strengthen our faith, that You would encourage our hearts, that You would lift up the brokenhearted, O Lord God. Mend hearts, mend minds and souls, O Lord God. That we would know You and love You and worship You. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, please, to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and 104 seem to be written together. Probably one is more of a commentary on the other, but Psalm 103 has more of a personal worship God and worshiping God for His father-like qualities, why we're looking at it today, whereas Psalm 104 then now looks and says to worship God and praise God that He is the Creator. He is the Creator of all things. So let us look this morning at Psalm 103. It is credited to David, of David, a psalm, again, it could mean for David, but commonly we think of this, knowing David's penchant for singing and creating songs and music, that this is written by David, by King David. Hear the word of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower in the field. For the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is God's word. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Give worship to the Lord for who he is and for what he does in our lives. Both. Two things there. They're really two separate things. I love in our song, our simple worship songs this morning, it captures both of those. It says, God is so good. That in and of itself is one statement of truth. God is good. But then the end of the verse goes, he's so good to me. In a way, it captures both of those. God is good in of himself, who he is, and it is his character, his nature, that he is good. That he is the definition of what is good. And he has acted goodness towards us. He is good towards us in what he does and how he cares for us. The first part of this psalm, verses 1 through 5, there's a personal praise. David here is issuing from his own heart praise to God. He's really calling his heart to wake up, reminding himself of who God is. And in doing so, he calls all of us to pray this prayer also. He's saying, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you're forgetting God's benefits? Your heart is wandering, your mind is wandering, you're feeling that as the Lord says through the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, heart's growing lukewarm towards Jesus. Well, here we have David, in this psalm, in this call of personal worship of God, he's calling himself, he's instructing himself to remember God's goodness. That there are times when it goes away from us, that there are times when we forget. We maybe get too self-absorbed. We maybe get too downcast in our souls. And we forget God's goodness. But here David is stirring himself up and he's encouraging us to stir up our own hearts also, that we would remember God. And he lists some of them, ways in which he wants to remember how God is good. Verse 3, God is good in that He forgives all of our iniquity, all of our sin. And it's miraculous. We don't deserve that. But God, in His grace and mercy, because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, when we believe in Jesus Christ, He washes away our sin. Verse 3 continues, He heals all of our diseases. That's a difficult one. It's in the Word of God, so I believe it. What does He mean by this? Well, I do believe that ultimately God heals all our diseases for those who love Him, either in this life or in the life to come, that disease is not a part of God's kingdom. Disease is an effect of sin. Now, it doesn't mean that we get sick because we've sinned. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the disease in the world is a global effect of the fall. And that is not what God's kingdom will be like. I know we talk about this often when we look at the Gospels, but we see Jesus performing miracles. They're not random miracles He's performing. He didn't just turn the sky from blue to red and say, look how powerful I am. He's not just trying to show His power through His miracles. He is also showing us what the kingdom of God is like. And so when He heals the sick, there will be no sickness in heaven. When He casts out the demons, there will be no evil in heaven. When He raises the dead to life, there will be everlasting life in the kingdom in heaven. He is the one who does heal our diseases. But when you put these two together, He forgives all of our sins, our iniquities, and He heals all of our diseases. I'll just say that there are some times when God heals our sin instantaneously. And I say that is the case probably because sin has no benefit to us, has no redemptive nature. And our diseases, sometimes He heals instantaneously. Many of you have testimonies of that. But there are times when He heals diseases slowly, very slowly. But both are in God's good hands. And He promises that He will forgive us and heal us. He goes on in verse 4, remember His benefits, that He redeemed our life from the pit, that He crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. Oh, that God is merciful to us. Oh, that He surrounds us with His steadfast, never-ending, never-stopping, never-diminishing, never-waning love. Steadfast goes on and on. His love goes on and on and on for you and I. Remember, God is the God who forgives, who heals, who redeems, who crowns, and who loves us. Who loves us. The second part of this psalm in verses 6 through 14 describe God as the gentle Father. He's a gentle Father. Verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Then He makes mention of Moses and how He acted to Moses and to the people of Israel and how He has been gracious and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. That's how He revealed Himself to Moses. When God showed Himself to Moses, when God revealed His name, He said that He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. This is in verse 8 where it's quoting that from Moses in Exodus. I want you to know, if I know we've called this out a number of times, but I think it's important again here in our text this morning. If you have your Bibles open in front of you, and I hope you do, I hope you do, we can follow along together here. You see the word Lord in this section, really throughout this psalm, but it's used a number of times in this section here, of verse 6 through 14. The word Lord is all in capitals. Typically the L is a little bit larger than the O-R-D, but just still, they're all in capital letters. Now, that is the way that in our English Bibles, we translate the name of God, which we don't necessarily know how to pronounce. We often call it Yahweh. And when the word Yahweh is used, instead of Adonai, which is another word for Lord, which can have a much wider meaning, Yahweh, and when we do Lord all in capitals here, it's invoking God's character, God's name. It's a name He gives Himself, again, to Moses. When He reveals Himself to Moses, He says, I am that I am, which has the letters for Yahweh in it. And that name has so much meaning and so much context to it. But one of the contexts, one of them, is God's covenant love. His steadfast, never-ending, never-ceasing love for His people. That even when we, His people, wander away from Him and ignore Him, His love for us continues forever and ever and ever. And so, David here chooses to use Yahweh, God's name, because he's speaking about God's never-ending, never-stopping love for us. That He is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Verse 10, He does not deal with us according to our sins. He doesn't repay us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Lord, that He is gracious, meaning He deals with us according to His love, not according to a quid pro quo or a transactional basis. If you do good, then I'll give you good. If you do bad, I'll give you bad. Sometimes our sins have consequences, usually as a means of drawing us back to God in His mercy. But He does not deal with us according to our sins. And He goes on to describe how great His love is. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is His steadfast love to those who fear Him. Again, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And also then, the next description is, as far as the east is from the west, so He has removed our sins from us. How far apart are the east and the west? Infinity. It's infinite. They never meet. It's not like you wrapping around the earth. That's not what He's talking about. It's on a line going on through all eternity. He separated us from our sins. That we are made because of the blood of Jesus, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are made whole. We are made righteous, not by our own righteousness, but by the righteousness of Jesus. And then in verse 13, he uses that description of a father. As a father. As a father shows compassion to his children. This is the way, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. God is not an angry taskmaster. Now, we've all had different experiences with our fathers. Some wonderful, some terrible, some a mix of both. And it's hard sometimes when we carry forth our negative interactions with our fathers. We often can put those on God. It gets distorted how we view our Heavenly Father. Here he is describing that our Heavenly Father is compassionate towards us. Is compassionate. I remember one time when I was in middle school, I know my boys have heard this story before. I got into one fight in my life, and it wasn't really a fight, it was more of a little scuffle, but it was one of those, hey, I'll meet you after school kind of a thing, and we'll have a fight. We're very smart about it. We made sure we did it on school property, right in front of the principal's window to his office. Very, very clever. Very clever young boys, the two of us. So after about 30 seconds of scuffling around, the principal, I guess actually was the assistant principal, came out, and of course the two of us were in trouble. Pulled us into his office, called our parents. And I remember when I was when I got home, because he had talked to my mother, my father was at work, and I was just sitting there waiting for, you know, many of you know this, wait till your father gets home, right? And so I was in a bit of a panic for a number of hours there waiting for my dad to get home. I remember sitting at the kitchen table, and my dad walks in, and he just comes, he sees me sitting there, and my mother's like, we got to talk, because your son just did something not so good here. And my dad just looked at me, and he just kind of gave me a hug, a pat on the shoulder, before he even knew what happened. And he just smiled at me. And I was like, what, why? He says, well, you look like you needed a friend. There was such compassion there. Now, I got in trouble later. But there was compassion in that moment there. A father's compassion on their children. Why? Well, God knows our frames. He knows that we are dust. He knows that we are weak. He knows that we are broken. He knows that. And He's not exacting of a taskmaster before us. He is compassionate. The third section in verses 15 through 19, we see that He is an everlasting Father, which has been alluded to in His everlasting nature already. But here, it calls out and focuses on that and the difference between us and the everlasting Father, our temporal nature and God's eternal nature. So verses 15 and 16, as for man, his days are like grass. The wind passes over and he's gone. Verse 17, but, now we compare that to God, but the steadfast love, again, the steadfast, never stopping, never ceasing love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. To those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. Who is the Lord? The Lord, again, it's Yahweh, capital, all capital letters there. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over them all. So there's the comparison. We, our lives are short here on earth. But in God, we are eternal. And our Heavenly Father, His love for us and His nature and His kingdom is forever. We toil and struggle and suffer in these days on earth here. And God mixes in goodness and joy by His grace. But the toil is not eternal. But the goodness of God and His kingdom is from everlasting to everlasting. The final section, then, in verses 20 through 22, ends now with a praise from all creation. Started with a praise, a personal praise. Now, David is calling all of creation to give praise to God. Bless the Lord, you His angels. Bless the Lord, all His hosts. Bless the Lord, those who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places. And then again to close, bless the Lord, O my soul. All of creation He's calling to worship God, because this God that he has seen, this everlasting, steadfast, loving God, this gentle Father, this everlasting Father, he is the one to be worshipped. He is worthy of all worship and all praise from all creatures everywhere. Because God is so good. We get a glimpse, well, I say more than a glimpse, of this good, good Father, our good, good Heavenly Father in the parable of the prodigal son. Many of you know how much I love the Rembrandt painting of the prodigal son, and just the beauty, the majesty, picture of God there. Here we have this son who would essentially said to his father, I wish you were dead and I'm leaving you and I want nothing to do with you. And that's a picture of all of us when we sin and we turn our backs on God. And the prodigal son goes away and indulges a sinful life. But the picture there is of the father waiting lovingly for his son to return, never giving up on his child, never stopping to look for his child to return. And when the child does return, the embrace. Oh, that embrace that Rembrandt captures so powerfully. Of the father welcoming the wayward son, the wayward child back in. Of loving the child, compassionately drawing the child in and restoring full rights as an heir to his lost child. The love and compassion of the Father, a picture of God's love and compassion to us. Interestingly, then, we always look also at the older son, who's angry with the Father's compassion. But something I think just want to mention briefly about that parable is both sons in the story are outside the house. And it's the sinful one who turns in humility and comes back to the father who was welcomed in. The older son, who is self-righteous, doesn't think he needs grace, doesn't think he needs compassion. In fact, who scorns the father's compassion on his brother, on others, he never comes back into the house. I think there's a picture there for all of us. We are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. We all need a merciful Father, a compassionate Father. And that is who God is to those who call upon Him in Jesus, who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, hoping upon Him as our righteousness, as our goodness. The Father welcomes sinners home. We come to Him in humility, not in self-righteousness. Our Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, steadfast, everlasting love. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us, your gentle, fatherly compassion and mercy, your everlasting reign and rule. We praise you, O God. We bless your name, O God. I pray that you would help each and every one of us to trust you, to come to you as the prodigal son, humbly confessing our sins to you, O God. And we thank you that you receive us with open arms and love. Oh, thank you, Father. Good, good Father. We pray to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.